And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition, so you know what that means. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Bonnie, I remember my first taste of paella in South Florida. It was heaven laced with aromatic saffron. I had never had that in the Midwest.
I guess not.
Well, Linda Gassenheimer is here, our favorite chef, author, and syndicated column. I guess we know what's on the menu today, then.
I guess you do. Can you smell it throughout the whole studio?
Yes.
Joe, I'm with you. I love the smell of saffron-scented rice bubbling in a large paella pan.
Your description is better than mine. Right?
Well, hello. Whatever it is, it's delicious. So when I found out that today is National Paella Day, who would have thought? Well, I thought we should celebrate and learn how to make the perfect one. It's a great dish for family, for friends, or for feasts. Carmen and Lola is a Spanish gourmet store, and it's also a caterer. And here to give us paella tips is their sous chef, his George Salri. Welcome, George.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody.
Nice to have you with us. And also, he's brought with us his chef, Pilar Guerrero. Is that correct?
Yes. Hello, good afternoon.
Great to have you with us, too. She made this paella that is sitting here in the studio. And and everyone outside the studio is lining
all
up
all
for
the
it.
News, the newsroom has descended.
Well, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What is your favorite paella? Have you made one at home, or do you have any questions for our expert? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Email?
Radio at WLRN.org, or they can tweet us at Topical Currents.
I always forget that tweet, Don. Thank you very much, Bonnie. Also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. He gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can read in today's Miami Herald. You can also read Fred's wine column. That's in today's Herald. I'm busy eating, sorry. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, first I want to let Joe know that we do have paella now in the Midwest, even though I have to make it myself sometimes. So naturally, we have to talk about the wines that go with it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Chef George, sorry. I have to admit, many paellas I've had have overcooked fish, overcooked meat, or dry rice. So tell us, let's start with the basics. What's the essential elements for making a paella?
Well, to make a perfect paella, the first thing you need is a pan, a paella pan. It's a shallow, thin pan that just transmits all the heat from your flame into what you're cooking.
If you don't, could you use a big skillet?
You could use a thin skillet.
It's the thinness of the pan that's
important.
It's
like a flattened wok?
Yeah.
Yes. But it, you know, the paella pan is actually a little bit, it's got a, you know, it's concave in the bottom. So it's on a electric stove, it wiggles.
Oh, it does. I didn't realize that. So it's not absolutely flat. Interesting. No. Yeah. And so what else do we need? All right, we've got the pan.
We got the pan. You need rice. You need the right rice. It's calasparra. It's a short grain fat rice that absorbs water like nothing else
is
I've ever seen.
Is that what this is?
Yes.
Now, so I always thought we'd have to have like Valencia or any kind of short cut rice.
You could
as
make
opposed
it,
to long grain.
You could make it with a short fat rice, but we recommend and we use, you know, the real deal, the calasparra, or there's another brand called Bomba.
And that's the actual name that's on the rice packet?
Yes.
Okay, so now we've got our rice in our pan. What else do we need?
Well, you need whatever ingredients you want to make it, whether it be seafood or chicken. The one that we have today that we made for you guys is the chicken one, which is very traditional, very Valencia, from the countryside.
Okay, and so now let me ask you, because I also have made paella at home, and what I do is I'll sauté the fish, the chicken, the pork, whatever's going into the paella, and take it out of the pan, because otherwise I find it just gets overcooked. So I get a nice sauté on it, and then I cook the rice. Is that no-no?
Well, there's no no-nos with paella.
Okay,
but
tell us.
I'll explain how we do it.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you start from the big ingredients, the ones that take the longest, and then you add whatever, you know, as the time of cooking for each element, you add them in as you go along. So you start, you know, you get your pan nice and hot, you brown the chicken.
With, use olive oil?
Or? Yeah. You cover with olive oil, then you brown the chicken till it gets, medium complected.
Right.
And then you add your vegetables, and you start getting a nice glaze in your pan.
I want everybody to know, since you can't see him, he's cooking as he's talking. His hands are moving, and he's showing us how he's doing it.
No, I've That's heard fine. That they also, in Spain, sometimes use rabbit and even snails. Is that true?
Yes, they do. The traditional Valencia paella is chicken, rabbit, and snails. You are correct.
Boy, snail paella. That sounds exotic.
It's exotic here.
For sure. So we've got our chicken in, and then do you add the rice?
Well, after your chicken, I'd like to run a tomato through a box grater, and
grated tomato.
Yeah, you make you make space in your pan in the middle. You add your tomato. You mix it in with, the rest of your ingredients.
Do you have onions, garlic, anything like that?
You can use garlic. I would stay away from the onion because it softens the rice prematurely.
Oh, that's interesting. And Pilar's over here. She's shaking her head. Yes, she's.
We haven't heard from her.
She's watching everything you're doing.
Yeah, move in a little closer. There you go.
No, it's right. It's right. The onions is a problem with the rice.
Okay, go ahead.
So after you get your tomato right, mixed with your chicken, you again make a space in the middle of the pan and you add like a teaspoon of sweet paprika.
Sweet, not the smoked.
Right. Well, yeah. It's smoked and sweet. There's a one that's spicy, but we prefer the sweet one because it just gives it a nice flavor to it. Uh-huh. It's a nice combination. Stir that in quickly because it'll burn and it'll get bitter. Then you let that cook down and then you add your, I like to use water because I make the broth in the pan.
Oh, I see.
Because the chicken's there.
Right. So you get the glaze out of the pan and you get all the flavor out of the chicken, out of the vegetables, and then,
And what vegetables have you got in there now?
We got, fava beans, green beans. You can use lima beans. You can use artichoke. It's very popular.
Uh-huh. Those fava beans are big.
Yeah.
Are they a special fava bean?
No, they're, I guess here they're...
Yeah, they're like more than an inch long.
Yeah, they're hard to find here.
Oh, okay.
But we do sell them. So
they have in their gourmet store. They're canned. They come in canned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, everybody doesn't know that we're sitting here eating the paella that you brought for us. So to explain, we've got fava beans. We've got the chicken pieces. We've got the beautiful rice. This is really tiny little pieces of rice.
Yes. That's why the rice is so important. It just this rice is nice and chubby, and it gets and absorbs water like crazy. You use a little more water than you would with any other rice recipe. It's about 2.5 cups to a cup of rice.
Oh, wow. So now there's something red here.
That's, those are piquillo peppers.
Okay. They're beautiful peppers.
They're beautiful and delicious. Everybody fights for the peppers, when you bring the paella out.
And I want to say that when you brought the paella pan in before we all gorged ourselves on it, it was beautiful because you had the yellow rice and then you had little pieces of chicken in it, and then you had these beautiful piquillo peppers all very prettily put around. Pilar, yes,
those are good.
She's saying yes.
Are those peppers spicy?
No, they're actually sweet and tangy.
Oh, that sounds good.
They're very sweet.
It's almost like a pimento, only it's big.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And actually, they're quite nice to have. You can just take them and stuff them with some cheese or something.
We sell them stuff also.
Oh. they make a great hors d'oeuvre.
Are they whole or do you cut them up first?
They come in a jar and they get topped and they come either in olive oil or water. These are in water.
So you're not getting any extra flavors in there. You're putting the flavors in yourself. Now, your pan had in it, very prettily, a whole ring of fresh rosemary.
Yeah, that just gives it a nice smell when you bring it out. And since we cover it, we finish, traditionally you finish cooking, if the rice is still a little bit tough, you cover it with either a wet towel or a tin foil, mm-hmm. and the rosemary just infuses the rice.
I was just looking at the saffron. Okay. That's what I was clinking around.
Actually, I guess on Joe's behalf, I should ask if you can make paella with bacon.
You can make paella with anything you like.
Or salt pork.
Well, name it after Joe if you do.
Well, now, Joe has been fussing around with this pan that you have here, and you call this a paella kit. So tell me what's in it.
Well, the paella kit has,
And this is for sale. People can go online at Carmen and Lola and buy, have a kit sent to them or go pick it up or something.
And it even comes with the pan.
It comes, we sell kits that it's a paella in a box. All you need to do is add chicken or fish or whatever you want to make, bacon.
The Spanish rice.
He's got this color.
That's the rice that we've been talking about, calasparra.
And then you've got the paprika. And it says sweet, dolce, sweet paprika, and the peppers. And as Joe was looking at this beautiful saffron, so tell us about the saffron, because it's, so many people will make a paella and they don't use real saffron. So to me, they've missed the whole thing. He's just gulped. So when I said that, Pilar, what do you think about not using saffron?
I think that it's very an special smell and a special flavor for the paella.
And of course, this has to be Spanish.
And how do you introduce that into the dish?
Well, there is a trick to the saffron. The saffron needs to be toasted.
What do you mean toasted?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Well, I put it in a tin foil on the handle of the pan for a few minutes before we need to add it in. So it gets, when you toast it, it sort of exudes all the flavor and all the color. Otherwise, you add the saffron, and it does absolutely nothing.
So you take a few strands of saffron,
right?
You put it in foil, and you put it on the handle of the pan.
Yeah.
Well, that's a kind of thin handle. How do you do that?
Make a little envelope, a tin foil envelope, and just slit it in the handle. For your listeners, it's a nice flat handle that will hold.
So that kind of warms the spice up and brings out the flavors. Well, actually, with all spices, you should really warm them up because they give out their oils and their natural flavors. So, oh my goodness, we've been having such a good time here. It's break time. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about making a perfect paella with Chef George Sowery. And we have also, he's the sous chef, and we have his chef. He brought his chef with him, Pilar. Nice to have both of you. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're celebrating National Paella Day. That's today, with Spanish gourmet store Carmen and Lola sous chef George Sowery, and he's also brought his chef with him, Pilar Guerrero. Yes, okay. And he's been helping us make the perfect paella, but most importantly, we've been eating his perfect paella. It's just delicious, and my mouth's watering. Well, now, for you who are wine lovers, the 7th Annual American Fine Wine Competition Gala is going to take place April 4th at the Boca Raton Resort and Club, and it's going to benefit Deliver the Dream, a charity. And it's a chance, if you love American wines, it's a chance for you to taste some of America's best wines. For more information, go to AmericaFineWineCompetition.org. A very fun and worthwhile gala. Okay, dinner in minutes time. Well, some of you at home may be just salivating and wanting to have a paella tonight. So I've got a quick and easy one for you to make at home. And you can celebrate National Paella Day tonight. It's a Catalonian paella. Now, I learned about this special paella at a restaurant in Catalonia where they make they make it with pasta instead of rice. And I've been told by both of you here that it's okay, correct?
It's perfectly fine.
Right. It's called Fed.
And the one with the soup noodles is called Fideuá.
Fideuá, okay. So for this one, you saute some chorizo sausage, some onion, garlic in a paella pan, or I'm telling you, you could use a large skillet, and they're all nodding, it's okay. I add some clam juice, some white wine, and some saffron. And to make things really, really easy, I use orzo, which is a rice-shaped pasta. Then I cook that for about 8 minutes. I add some zucchini, some pimentos, some peas, and some shrimp, and I only cook it until the shrimp turns pink. It's very colorful. It's very simple. That complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And if you'd like another Dinner in Minutes for tonight, try the Mushu Pork Wrap. So it's a whole different ethnic delivery today. Mushu Pork Wrap with bok choy, that's in today's Miami Herald. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, I want you to know that Chef has brought us some wonderful wine that we're also drinking here with our paella. So tell us about the wine we should be drinking, Fred. Are you there, Fred? Fred's gone.
As soon as I finish with that, I want to hear what wines you brought, because that will be interesting.
Okay, we missed you a little bit, that we had a misconnection, but go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, okay. To see what wine goes best with paella, you kind of have to turn to the old saying that's probably a cliche now, but that's because it's true, and that is what grows together goes together. So since paella was probably invented in the Spanish region of Valencia, you would presume the wines of that region would go nicely with paella. And that works with the whites, Chardonnay, Macabeo, Pedro Jimenez, and so on. But Valencia's red wines, not so much. They are, to put it politely, muy potente, very powerful, and even rustic.
I think they're agreeing with you here, Fred. Yeah.
So one popular, for example, one popular Valencia red wine is Monastrell, sometimes called Morvedre. And it has a thick skin, which makes the wines very dark and tannic. And, of course, Valencia's summer is an endless series of sun-blasted 95-degree days, which I can attest to because I drove across it in a convertible one time, and it really hurt. So Monastrell is powerful enough that it has a nickname. It's a French nickname. I don't know why. It's called Étrangle Chien, which in French means dog strangler.
That's what they call their wine?
That's what they call their wine. But the Spanish are practical people, so they softened their dog-strangling red wine by adding another local product, the Valencia oranges, plus sugar and whatever else they had lying around, and they created a much friendlier wine, or more accurately, a wine punch called sangria. And they even make white sangria from local grapes. And now there's a nice combination, paella and sangria. Now, Spain's other favorite foods to Americans, of course, are tapas, little snacks on small plates. And these can be anything from spicy chorizo sausage to hearty potato omelets and pungent olives. And, of course, you can never pick enough wines to go with each one of them, so this gives you permission to drink whatever you feel like, which is very nice. And Spain's a great place to do that because it has so many varieties. Steely white Albarinos, rich and nutty dry sherries, fruity Riojas, and so on. They all go well. But, of course, the Spanish wine that goes best with the greatest variety of tapas, and probably even with paella, is cava, which is Spanish sparkling wine. So, yes, Linda, I'm recommending bubbly with everything again.
Well, Fred, I was getting worried because I hadn't heard the bubbly yet, so I'm glad you got to that at the end.
Goes with everything.
Of course it does. Now, we've got wine here in the studio. So, George, why don't you tell them what we've got?
Well, today we brought a Ribera del Duero, which is a nice, hearty...
Well, wait, say that slowly.
Ribera del Duero.
Okay. And
once again, slower.
Ribera del Duero.
There we go.
And what kind of wine is it?
It's a nice, hearty red wine, full-bodied. It goes well with a meaty paella like we're having now. But the idea of having cava or something bubbly with paella is absolutely inspired.
It's inspired, so you didn't know about that.
Well, I do now.
Fred, you've got a convert here.
Yeah, Ribera del Duero wines are great. Some people call them Riojas on steroids because they're very powerful. They'd be good with paella, especially with chicken and things like that. Or maybe with those snails.
Yes, it would be.
And especially with bacon, Joe.
Whoa.
There you go. All right. So, well, let's go back to some of the how to make the greatest paella ever. One of the treats of a paella is when you make it over an open fire, the rice on the bottom gets nice and crispy, and that's kind of the treat everybody fights over. So what's that called, a socarrat?
Yes, that's called a socarrat. Right. But I will give you a trick
to
getting it on a gas flame. A minute before your rice is set, just crank the heat as much as it can go. And as soon as you see a puff of white smoke coming out of the paella, turn it down. It'll be one layer of rice perfectly toasty at the bottom.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That is inspired. I always wondered how you got just the right crust without having it black.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it'll take a minute or so. No more than that.
No more
but
than
you
that.
Got to keep an eye on it, I suppose.
Yeah. There's a very fine line between burnt rice and sauerkraut.
Okay. And so what about an electric stove or something like that? There's nothing. The same way. You could do the same.
You can make do with an electric stove. I would suggest, you know, that you actually move the pan over because the electric element will
continue
hot.
So once you've done your 1 minute, get it off the heat right away.
Do you ever make it in the backyard on a charcoal grill or a gas grill?
That is the sen level for paella. The maximum expression of paella is to be able to get it done on an open fire,
just like they do in the fields in Valencia.
Right.
Okay.
You become the Zen master of paella once you can get it.
You're taking Zen master. Okay, the Zen of paella. All right, that sounds great. So now, you, Carmen and Lola is a gourmet food store. Where is it located?
Yeah, we're located in Doral, right off of the Palmetto on 25th Street.
And if you wanted to cater or something, we could call you and you'd make a wonderful paella for us?
Absolutely. We'll cater up to parties up to 100 people. Or, you know, down to 10.
Do you have a website?
Yes, carmenandlola.com.
carmenandlola.com.
Okay.
And people, they'll send it out to people. You don't have to even go over there. Well, it's been really, really a tasty week here. Chef George Salary, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for
being
here. And Chef Pilar, thank you.
Thank you.
You were the one
much.
Who cooked this wonderful paella for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great. As we mentioned, Carmen and Lola's Spanish Gourmet Store, located at 7640 Northwest 25th Street. You can order online at carmenandlola.com. And you can have the chef make a party for you right there. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joseph, Cooper, and Bonnie, great to be with you, and you ate well today.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
you, Linda.
Right. Next week, we'll be talking with Thierry Isembert and Peter Kay from Thierry's Catering. They'll be helping us make our spring parties and helping us with Easter. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.